The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on Still Just Fishing Show. You got Captain Chris Holland. I guess he's thinking about me this morning. Captain Chris Nichols and Ted Hartman here this morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Trying to put your first name and your last name together or something. Other. I don't know. Don't know what's going on this morning, but anyway.
You're just doing it alphabetically because you've done that to me before.
And looking at, I've gotten a couple messages here, and one of them was from Captain Leon Dana. Said there was a bunch of stuff on Facebook last night about the, since the city parks are closed, that the boat ramps will be closed down too. But, Captain Jim Suver just, replied to me this morning. And, if he's listening, thank you so much for being up. You know, hope I didn't wake you up when I messaged you. But anyway, I do appreciate him answering me back and saying that no, the boat ramps can still be used. So, you know, it's always a panic mode when things happen, you know, like this. So, but anyway, it's like there's going to be all kind of false stuff going around, different things like that. But, yes, the boat ramps can still be used.
Did you see where the guy self-quarantined? He's sitting there on his boat with his fishing pole anchored up.
Mm.
Yeah, I decided to self-quarantine. I'm like, well, you got to keep the ramps open so we can go out and quarantine ourselves on our boat.
That's it. I'm telling you, man. That's he didn't answer me back, but I hope I didn't wake him up. But anyway, I appreciate Captain Jim Suver, you know, coming back and answering me so quickly.
He's a good lad.
Yes, he is. And, you know, I see where they're, you know, getting other boats. They got that, he got the sheriff's office to move that boat that's over there at Joe Carlucci ramp, even though it's still tied up at the dock, but at least it's not in the ramp now, you know, so that's a good thing.
I didn't see it when we went over the bridge on Wednesday. I think it was gone Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not tied up to the dock, you mean?
I looked over there, at Carlucci, checking out what the tide was doing, because Ted picked me up at Sisters, and then we took his boat out to Sawpit, and we put in at Sawpit.
Oh, yeah. You put in at Sawpit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he picked me up at Sisters, but we put in at Sawpit.
How do you like that ramp?
It's pretty good, and it's a pretty steep. And the current really rips through there, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it also on a super moon, too.
Right, so. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it helps.
And
you're really crabbing sideways.
Yeah, Chris was putting the boat on the trailer, and he looked like he was coming in sideways.
You have to.
Yeah.
You pretty much, I was like, okay.
Nothing
well, Mayport
break
used
current.
To be like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
on a real bad tide.
It still is on a bad tide.
On the main part of Scanlon there?
I don't know, but I mean, it used to be, you know, when I'd put in over there years ago, it was like that, you know? But that was on a bad tide. Now they got those other docks in there too, so maybe it's not as bad.
Sawpit needs a fence, you know, a jetty kind of fence just over there where all the pilings are. They've got all the pilings there for it. They just need to mount a fence to it to break the current so it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. The floating dock breaks it when it's incoming, but it was smoking outbound the other day when we went out there.
It's like
putting it back on the trailer.
Looks like they could just take put a little rock jetty there too, you know, not way out past the ramp, but just enough to where when you're getting in the ramp you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course rocks would also help anytime to, you know, create
a little fishing spot.
Yeah. maybe they don't want to do that on the where people be on the dock fishing, but
I do wish though that they would make that like an L shape and bring that that floating dock down the bank there a little bit further where you can, it has one boat in
toward
there.
The bridge?
Yeah, towards the bridge.
Down the other way there's
there.
A little creek
yeah
there, just to the right.
Because when we were trying to put in there was a guy that put in, and he has to take his boat, his truck and trailer way down there, and you have to kind of, and he ties the dock up. There's only one, you know, you can't get it in there without him moving it.
He couldn't pull it out and around the dock there and tie it, huh?
Well, I know. Yeah, I was wondering about that, because when I was there last year, the city was out there putting all new cleats on that floating dock because a bunch of them were broke off.
Mm-hmm. I just like to see it a little longer. It make it easier for people that are coming and going to get their truck or the trailer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can
you know, I always wonder what, you know, and I can see where a cleat maybe get pulled out because of the bolts or something like that, but really what breaks the cleat? I realize they're aluminum, but I mean, I don't think I've ever seen any kind of a tie up to where the rope would break a cleat. So
I've seen a cleat pulled out of the back of the orca in Jaws.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, but you know, that's what I say. I can see the bolts giving way or something, but actually breaking a cleat? How that,
I know.
You know?
Your one ear broke off?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, how does that happen?
I've seen that, you know, quite a bit over the years. I mean, but I'm like, what gives with that? I mean, does somebody run the boat up on it to break it? I mean, it's,
yeah, those 9.9 Evinrudes, when they go to pull away from the dock with their little John boat and that 9.9's cranked up, I guess it's pretty bad. Forgot to untie it and rip one ear of the cleat off. But they're big, burly cleats. Yeah. I'm like,
how does the ear get broke off of it? I mean, I guess you call it an ear or whatever. But, you know, I just don't understand how that gets broke off of it.
I know.
You
know? Yeah. I've wondered if it ripped out.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if, you know, if a boat, like, heads, you know, I've seen people try to dock the boat and head straight into the dock, and the top of the boat goes over the dock a little bit, but still, you know, when your V-shaped boat like does that, I mean, it's the boat's going to hit the dock and raise up. It's not going to actually get on the cleat. So how does it really break the cleat?
I know,
cleats are back far enough that like the gunwale of your boat doesn't come down on it, and you know, stuff like that. I mean, they're usually back, you know, a few inches so from the edge.
The only way I could see breaking one is if you took, I got a long breaker bar in the garage for, you know, for my trailer ball nut and stuff. But if you put a big breaker bar on it, I could see breaking it that way. But I'd really love to have been there to see what broke it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just don't understand that whenever I see that.
But at the end of last summer, the city came out there. I was putting my little skiff back up on the trailer, and the city was out there turning too hard at it, replacing all the cleats on that floating dock and sawpit. And like just what we're talking about, as soon as Ted was backing me in the water, I'm looking at the dock, and there's already cleats with one wing broke off of them. You know, and I'm like, I don't get that. I mean, they just replaced them all the end of last summer. How are they getting broke?
I don't really understand that, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, sometime or another, maybe somebody will tell me how they get broke, or, you know, maybe we get a caller, or, you know, maybe even sometime I run into Captain Jim Suver, maybe he'll, you know, be able to tell us. But he said, thanks for getting the word out about the boat ramps. But, yeah, the boat ramps, you know, city parks are closed. I mean, that's for, you know, kids like climbing all over, you know, playground equipment, stuff like that, people with picnic tables, things, you know. You know, you can certainly understand that it's what's going on now, but as far as the boat ramps are, you know, are still usable, so, you know, don't panic and think you're not going to be able to go fishing. So, you know, get out there and go, because it's going to be pretty this weekend.
Yeah. I've been enjoying this warmth, I know that.
Yep, we got west-southwest winds around 5 knots this morning, so it's becoming east around 10 to 15 in the afternoon, seas 2 to 3 feet. Tomorrow, southwest winds around 5 knots. So anyway, looks like it's pretty nice, so get out there and do it while you can, and we'll be back after this.
Yeah.
If you love the ocean, then express yourself with clothing from Seven Seas Outfitters. Seven Seas Outfitters makes high-quality apparel with stunning artwork for men and women. Seven Seas Outfitters was created out of a passion for the ocean, its sandy beaches, the marine life, and the mysteries that lie beneath the waves. Seven Seas Outfitters loves the ocean like you do. They donate 10% of their revenue to ocean-friendly nonprofits. Check out their full lineup at SevenSeasOutfitters.com. That's SevenSeasOutfitters.com.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. I'm Still Just Fishing Show. And, but yeah, I mean, you know, looking at that salt pit ramp, I've never used it myself. I've heard of, you know, a lot of people using it. And, you know, some people with the larger boats, like we were talking about just now off the air, you know, have to back all the way down from the parking area, you know, down to there. And then, of course, if you're going fishing by yourself, you have to tie up your boat and then, you know, take your truck all the way back up there and walk back down. So,
yep.
You know, people may get a little aggravated with that, but, you know, waiting to get their boat in or whatever, you know, waiting to take their boat out, one or the other. But, you know, it is what it is, where that ramp is at, located, you know, at. So, you know, if you're fishing that area up there, of course, you know, a lot of people say, well, they save gas by launching it there. But, because you do have less gas mileage in your boat, you know, than you do your truck. So it's better to be, you know, closer to, you know, the fishing spot, yeah. You know, from the ramp, you know. But, you know, most of the time with these four strokes anymore, it's not that much big of a difference to, you know, to run by boat wherever you're going to go.
You know? Yeah. Well, two cycle here.
Oh, yeah.
Like Chris said, is the fog machine.
Yeah, his motor reminds me so much of my little C50. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, low RPM sitting there, idling. It's a good, you know, gnat fogger. I mean, we had the gnats.
Yeah.
We had the gnats on us pretty good, even mm-hmm. anchored up during, what was it, slack tide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when you don't have any wind, those gnats will kind of get on you like that. But, you know, looking at that, it's me, I would rather have to put up with the bugs than the wind any day, because the wind is just such a pain in the neck anymore, you know, for me. I mean, because, you know, it's different when you just go out there and, you know, fish yourself or whatever, you know, recreational fishing. It's a little different because, you know, when I take people, I mean, it's like I've called people before and go, you know, hey, tomorrow it's going to be, you know, the northeast 25, a gust of 30. Yeah, we're excited. And I'm like, you know, I'm calling you not to be, you know, tell you not to be excited that, you know, we ought to go another day or something. And they'll go, well, you know, let's, we'll go anyway. We'll be able to fish it. And then you get out there and they're like, man, this is bad. Yeah. Like, yeah, I know.
And Ted heard me whine and I was like, hey, there's a little bit of a breeze. I was hoping for a little breeze to blow those gnats away.
There you go. Hey, Captain Leon.
Morning, Vic. Morning, Nick.
Letty.
Good morning.
Hey, what's shaking, bacon?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you on the way out?
To the boat ramp. No, yeah, I'm just heading that way now. That's one of the joys and tribulations of living close to a boat ramp. You know, you can start late.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
Man. Well, water temperature in the valley is when I left the water yesterday, it was like 72, 73, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's 74 with that sun we had yesterday. Hmm. And it'll get warmer today. I mean, with 80-degree weather, you know, it's just going to heat up fast.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say that as of last week, you know, all that wind we had, it was really bad water clarity. It's really cleaned up very nicely as of now compared to the way it was. There's a really good redfish bite going on in the valley, a decent trout bite. There are some black drum to be caught, and there still are some flounder. All baits are working. Finger mullet, which you can easily catch at low tide with a cast net. I mean, there's millions of perfect USDA grade select mullet running the banks.
All right, laddie, I haven't had breakfast, man. You're making me hungry.
I need to ask something, Leon. You remember the places I was telling you down there on the intercoastal, right on that turn?
Oh yeah.
For those giant drum, have you tried them? Because they're in.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're.
I'm not going to go looking for redfish when I'm finding schools of redfish that are just, you know, the things that they make TV shows of. Okay, so. Yeah.
What's
the first rule of fishing? You don't leave fish to find fish.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I had some friends of mine fishing down there at, you know, whiting fishing way down the beach the other day, and they caught four of those black drum on a half a piece of shrimp, and between like 35 and 50 pounds.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's proof. Vic, that's proof right there. That when people say, is that a big enough bait? Well, elephants eat peanuts, okay?
Yep, that's right. They had a half a piece of shrimp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The biggest redfish I ever caught on the beach was using a piece of shrimp the size of my thumbnail.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I had some guys probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now. I can't remember when. But we were whiting fishing on the last of the incoming tide. And when the tide turned, and just as it started going out, we were whiting fishing on the inside of the North Rocks. And right there by the red buoy that's inside the rocks. And this guy hooks up a fish, and I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, man, that's probably a big bull red. You know, he's fighting and fighting and fighting, you know.
Sure.
And on a little old half a piece of shrimp, and he pulls him up to the surface, you know. And as soon as I saw him, it was probably about a 35-pound cobia, dead shrimp on the bottom. And as soon as he saw him, that cobia turned around and took off. And then he sat right there and tightened. I said, don't tighten it. And he was tightening the drag down and broke the line.
Good job there.
He said he was getting away. I said, well, yeah, he's gotten away now because you tightened drag. But, you know. But, about a 35-pound cobia on a half a piece of dead shrimp on the bottom.
Leon, you remember back in the day before they started selling mole crabs, you know, sand fleas at the bait shops? We used to cut the head off a shrimp, peel the horn and the shell off, and it looked like a sand flea. So I'm, you know, with my two sons loading up the box on nice pomps at Nassau, and that's how I caught my first red, on a little tiny peeled shrimp head.
Sure.
With a number two hook?
Yeah.
Number two hook and 8-pound test, that was no fun. That was like a 40-minute fight.
Well, I can tell you too, Leon, you know, when we float fish for trout, the long slip floats.
Right.
And you get a bite and you bring it back and you got half a shrimp. The guys are wanting to change. I said, put that back out there. And he's like, well, yeah, but it's only half a shrimp. He's dead. I said, just put it back out there, you know, and you drift it again. Boom. Get a nice trout.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because then he really gets that hook in his mouth, you know?
That's right. That's right.
But you're talking about a big bait. A lot of times in the heat of the summer, when the water temperature, you go up in these creeks and it's 92, 93 degrees. And, yeah, you know, I use small shrimp. I use, you know, if we're float fishing in there, I don't want a big bait because those fish really, it's like they just nibble at it, you know?
Yeah, trout, I'm not sure trout really get that rule. You know what I mean? They seem to prefer something pretty big, and some of the bigger flounder.
I was going to ask Ted
when we were trout fishing. Ted and I was trout fishing, Leon. We went out there and something was like biting the bait off. So I dug in the live well and I found the tiniest shrimp I could find and put on there and drifted out there. It was a 26-inch trout.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
The bigger the bait, the less bites you had.
Exactly. So we started putting small shrimp on there, and we actually caught them right up. I think some of them ran 22, 23 inches, and mm-hmm. we had to start letting them go, you know.
Yeah.
But, the small bait caught them. It was weird.
Yeah, small.
For folks that are coming down in the valley running from St. Augustine up or vice versa, I will say keep your head on a swivel. There have been numerous triple tail sightings lately.
Oh, wow.
And they're decent size, you know, like 4 or 5 pounders. So it's just, you know, if you see a piece of trash on the surface, why don't you take a double look at that thing real quick, okay? It's worth it. It could be a piece of plastic. Pick it up. Or it could be a big, fat triple tail. So throw your popping cork with a shrimp.
That's right.
So just keep an eye on a swivel, folks. I mean, they're out there, and there's been more than a few caught. So, you know, I'm just sharing that, you know.
No, that's good, man, because, you know, look at those crab traps. There's a couple of creeks that's up there between Sisters and Clapboard that sometimes the crabbers will tell me, you know, when they're around. And so at that point, then I'll just kind of ease up to the crab traps, you know, and check it out, because those crab trap floats in there work just like they do off mm-hmm. the beach.
Yes, sir, they do. And yeah. I am the marker pilings.
Yeah.
Yep, they work also. So that's about all I got for you, boys. I'm almost pulling up to the ramp now.
Okay, Leon. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that to me this morning about the boat rants, that you heard that, because I didn't really get to see all of that on Facebook last night, so, you know.
I'm glad you didn't have to. It was a debacle as usual.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like panic mode. It's like you got a respiratory illness that's making everybody buy toilet paper, you know, so.
Yeah,
I mean, how does a respiratory – oh, I better may not say this. This may not be right for TV, not the radio, okay?
Yeah.
I'll just stop now.
Yeah, I don't think I want to go there either.
I saw one meme on Facebook yesterday that said the reason the toilet paper is all being bought out is when, you know, when somebody sneezes, the snowflakes all crap themselves.
Mine was a lot, but I was going much further south than you, so I'll just stop.
Thanks, all Leon. Right. Appreciate it. Good
have
luck.
Have a good day out there, buddy.
Have a good one, Leon.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back after this.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump has declared the coronavirus pandemic a national emergency to free up more money and resources. He threw his support behind an aid package from Congress that the House approved early today, on track to provide direct relief to Americans. He has denied any responsibility for the delays in making testing available, saying it's based on an old system, which he's now working to upgrade. The government says a new rule disqualifying more people from green cards if the U.S. government benefits will not apply to immigrants who seek care for symptoms of the illness caused by coronavirus. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services said late Friday seeking treatment or preventive services won't affect somebody's immigration status under the new public charge rule. On Wall Street, a much better day after the president made his speech yesterday. The Dow was up almost 2,000 points. The NASDAQ up by 673. This is SRN News.
Huge steak sale. 20 ribeyes, $30. What? Crazy Jimmy is in town, and prices are insane. We have T-bones, New York strips, fillets, sirloins, marinated chicken breasts, and pork. 20 ribeyes, $30. At the Orange Park Mall at 10143 Beach Boulevard under the big top tent across from the giant orange dinosaur. And 9025 New Kings Road by Jack's Tractor Supply. Five-star steaks shipped from the Midwest. Crazy Jimmy's prices are insane. 20 ribeyes, $30. All Midwestern USA steaks. 20 ribeyes, $30. Going on now. Orange Park Mall, 10143 Beach Boulevard, under the big top tent, across from the giant orange dinosaur. And at 9025 New Kings Road by Jack's Tractor Supply. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Accepting credit, debit, cash, and EBT.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB. Or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
Hi, everybody. Ed Dean, your morning show host. Roger and I do have to have some fun, but join us Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. coronavirus free. We are following it. The question is, if the state of Florida goes into a somewhat of a recession, Roger, what would be the quickest way to get us out? More government spending or tax cuts?
Probably a combination of the two. Let's get some tax cuts and also get some stimulus going.
Some people may agree with both. We'll have this conversation coming up Monday morning. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
It'll be partly sunny through the weekend with highs into the middle 80s. Monday's high will be 76. Partly cloudy nights all week with lows into the lower 60s. And then about a 20% chance of rain starting Tuesday, running through Thursday night.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning.
The line is hot.
Yep, we got Captain Chip Wingo in here. Morning, Chip.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Hey, man.
How you doing today?
What's happening?
Not much.
No, we just got off the phone with Leon, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. Poor guys. Well, at least I can follow him up. I don't have to listen to him, so. It's all good. No, it's been a good week, man. We've caught all kinds of stuff. So
yeah, it's been nice, you know, weather, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, pompano, black drum, redfish, big yellow mouse, nice speckled trout, flounder. Caught it the first bull shark of the year yesterday. So that little 36 incher. Oh. So everything's showing up. Glass minnows, seeing Spanish. You know, the bite's going to be really good again today, I think, too, and tomorrow. And then we got a little backdoor front coming, I think, on Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. We'll probably get a little bit of wind. I think we're getting wind on, what, Monday? Yeah. Supposed to get a little nor'easter roll through. So, but, yeah, it's been good. I mean, the water clarity's okay. It's not really that good. But, you know, if you fish the ledges, you know, if you put your boat in 10 to 14 feet of water and fish the roll downs and let your bait roll, you know. Yesterday my two biggest reds came off fish bites, the white dirty boxer. So, you know, it's kind of funny. We're sitting there going through shrimp after shrimp after shrimp, and I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I only bought 8 dozen. I'm like, hey, let's switch up for a minute, you know, and then we caught the two biggest fish off the fish bites. So it's, you know, it's good time of year. I mean, the weather's nice. The gnats are biting, though. Yeah, they're biting.
No lie. They're
freaking ferocious.
Yep.
Hey, Chip, so, a friend of mine caught, there were 14 to 18 inches. He caught 28 whiting off the surf on all of it was on fish bites, the shrimp.
Yeah. Yep. The shrimp bite, fish shrimp scent. Yeah. Fish bite shrimp scent. Yeah. A lot of times, like if I'm having a slow bite, I'll take the shrimp and cut a piece off and put it on the hook and then put my shrimp on it. But I tell you, one of the best ways I've been catching the trout is, I learned from Scotty Shank this little way of taking and hooking your shrimp up through the head at the horn, from the bottom up through and throwing it and letting it drift like that. It pulls the head down like the shrimp's naturally kind of swimming down. But when the trout hits it, you know, because a lot of times the trout are going to knock the head off first, but they've been slamming the head so you don't miss them. So we've done really good that way. And, you know, like I said, with the fish bites, it's a no-brainer. I mean, they're out of shrimp down here today. I think St. Augustine was out yesterday. So, you know, that's a go-to. Just grab your fish bites and let it rock, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's makes life a lot easier. You know, and you don't have to worry about it. You know, I'm going to throw some muds today, too, because they've been eating mud minnows. But, it's so nice when you can throw something on that you don't have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can catch 10 or 15 fish off one fish bite's curly tail, and you're golden, you know. So, but, yeah, I'm glad this time change has happened, too. So it's made life a lot easier. So, you know, you can get your afternoon trips in when the tide's right. You know, but the tide's going to be good this morning. We've got an outgoing to low, so it'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Now, if I can find some bigger black drum down here, I'll be happy.
So, well, have you tried them in the intercoastal down there close to Airport Creek?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there in the beginning of the week and drop some crab down and see if they'll eat.
Yeah, there's a place down there where I used to go all the time, and, you know, before they'd come up here even.
And, yep, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yep,
and, 32 to 44 feet of water.
I'd try them right there and used to get them quite a bit, you know, down there. And then, of course, you know, come up here and start catching them here, too, once they got up here. But they're up here now. Some friends of mine caught four of them the other day on shrimp, just, you know, while they're whiting fishing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try a couple different things on them this year. And using the fish bites for sure, you know, because I did that last year and caught bull reds. If I put one of the big crab fish bites on a whole crab, that would be the one that got hit.
Yeah.
So I started, you know, making a little, you know, doubled over two piece strip so that it would kind of flutter in the water, and it doesn't spin a lot either. So that was nice, but they were crushing that too.
So, yeah, if you got it hanging off the hook where it'll flutter.
Yeah, if you get the fish bites to strips, you know, you can take them and cut one in half and fold it over and double hook it. So you're putting two pieces on, fold it over.
Yeah.
So it's got some mass to it. So that way it's down there. It just flutters in the water. It doesn't spin. You know, a lot of times your crab will kind of spin around. Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't hook it just right, mm-hmm. so, you know, I've been playing with a lot of different stuff, trying, you know, because it's, you know, crabs sometimes are, you know how it is, Vic. Sometimes you get good crabs, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they have them, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, you know, I hate them. I mean, soft crabs and white bellies. Kind of hate yeah. those.
Yeah, I like it. If I'm going to use crab, I want the dirtiest, gnarliest looking crab I can
yeah.
get. So.
Yeah, they get a lot more meat in them.
Yeah, so.
Those white bellies are just, I mean, you can tell when you start cutting legs off or whatever, they just, you know, that just pulls right out. Don't even cut.
No, they're not.
You know, and they're live crabs. They're just, I don't know what makes them like that.
Slow down!
But that sounds like me, Chip, on my street.
Yeah, this guy's just going through the no wake zone, you know. Right here on the dock. Sorry, I tried to hit mute. So
that's all right. I'm used to it. That I'm always got to scream at somebody that doesn't have any care or concern for.
Oh, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, we were fishing. You and I just last week, and or earlier this week, and we were sitting there. Three yeah, times. I mean, this guy comes by in this like 24-foot boat. Just wide open, and I think he was probably 15 yards from us.
Now you're going no wake.
That's another captain. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, so back. Yeah. It's been a good week. I'm looking forward to, you know, now's the time to go. It's not too hot yet. I mean, it got hot yesterday, but the weather's been beautiful. Everything's been perfect. You know, so it should be a phenomenal week all the way around this week, even if we get a little blow. So,
yeah, I hear the sheephead's starting to bite a lot better, too.
Yeah, when we were talking about that the other day, you know, I was like, yeah, it figures, doesn't it? They bit good during the tournament for some people, though, too. So that was awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, yeah, I went up to visit my friend up in, when I talked to you the other day, Vic, up there on the Nassau River.
Yeah.
I sat out there on the dock. You know, I just got finished doing a charter, went to pick up a trailer. I sit out on the dock with him and start chunking baits, catching fish. You know, he was throwing a whole shrimp on. I was like, no, peel them. He's like, huh? I go, peel them. So we were peeling the shrimp and hooking them on double rigs and just pounding the whiting and the black drum. And there was all kinds of fish, yellow mouse. And, you know, it was pretty fun. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised in Nassau you didn't get one of those big drum.
Yeah, I am too. We were, you know, I could see the bridge from there, and he's got the depth, but you know how it is. They'll be in.
Oh, yeah. My dad and I, when I caught my first big one, he was 30 pounds. I was like, I was either eight and a half years old, something like that. I know I wasn't 9 years old, but anyway, whenever I, we were out there whiting fishing out from the A-frame. You remember the A-frame house used to be out there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were straight out from the A-frame. I don't even know if it's still there or if it's behind trees or whatever. But anyway, that used to be a great whiting spot for everybody. I mean, you go out there and sometimes there'd be five, six boats out there and everybody catching whiting, big whiting. But anyway, I'd hooked this fish and then told my dad I had a big fish. And, of course, he was like, you know, he said, let me hold the rod. And he's like, no, I think you're hung up on the bottom. And then all of a sudden the fish started moving. And then he handed it back to me. He's like, nope, you got a fish.
Yeah.
So he was 30 pounds, you know, about 30 pounds is what my dad told me. And that was my first big drum.
That's awesome. Those things are so much fun to catch.
Yeah, they are.
So, well, guys, I'm going to cut you off. I've got my guys walking down the dock.
All righty.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day, Chip.
Have a good one. You guys have an awesome week.
You too, Chip.
You too.
You too, man. Thanks for the call. 222-8255. Give us a call and we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun, but at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AKs, AK-47s. From Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you love the ocean, then express yourself with clothing from Seven Seas Outfitters. Seven Seas Outfitters makes high-quality apparel with stunning artwork for men and women. Seven Seas Outfitters was created out of a passion for the ocean, its sandy beaches, the marine life, and the mysteries that lie beneath the waves. Seven Seas Outfitters loves the ocean like you do. They donate 10% of their revenue to ocean-friendly nonprofits. Check out their full lineup at sevenseasoutfitters.com. That's sevenseasoutfitters.com.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
Couldn't find the one.
Really?
Yep.
I know Glenn Shelton's got them. Got plenty of them over there at Ace Hardware on Arlington Expressway. They got a big shipment in yesterday of also toilet paper but all the wipes. They couldn't get hand sanitizer, but they got the wipes.
At Ace?
Yeah. Huh. On Arlington Expressway. Yep.
That's right by your house.
It's crawling distance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people don't look at hardware stores for that, but, you know, you have to kind of get them where you hit them. Of course, I told my wife and, you know, a couple of friends of mine that we've got a big old Japanese plum tree. There's some big, thick leaves on it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Buy more corn.
Hey, are we preparing for a hurricane or something?
Yeah, no lie, Alan. I'm with you. I'm like, please.
You know, I understand about taking precautions. That's why I didn't go to my reunion last night. You know, not going to go tonight either because, you know, I mean, you know, when you're around a lot of people that's traveling and stuff like that, it's, you know, you want to take precautions, you know, and it's, you know, good to do that. But, I mean, the hysteria has just gotten me so, you know, it's just gotten so crazy. But
it's frustrating.
You think it's going to affect your fishing charters?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, because a lot of people are not going to travel. I mean, later on this week, I've got some people that's coming up from Daytona, you know, to try to fish for those, you know, giant drum. Mm-hmm. They always come up and fish a couple of days with me. So I was thinking that was coffee, and then I saw it, and I was like, wow.
It is green tea, and it is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been enjoying it. Oh, speaking of travel, mm-hmm. here you're, you know, things that make you go, my next-door neighbor, I was chatting with him the other day, he goes, me and the little woman are fixing to head down to Miami. I said, he goes, we're going to take a cruise. I said, where are you going? He goes, I said, you going out of here on the Princess? He goes, no, they're going to drive all the way to Miami to go out on a cruise. I said, well, you know, just be advised. You own your own business. I said, if they quarantine you, that's an extra 2 weeks of business you're going to lose.
Well, not only that. Stuck. Not only that, I mean, all the cruise lines says they're going to close down for 60 days now. So they may be driving down there for nothing.
He said they were still on. I was like shaking my head. I was like, really?
Yeah, wow. I just saw that they were going to be closed, you know, closed down for 60 days. So that's, you're in the middle of May.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's been in the news. All these cruise ships being quarantined, told to stay offshore.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's kind of a, you know, it's a big nuisance, but like I say, just take precautions and don't panic, and you know, it is kind of bad, but it's, you know, looking at some of the stuff we had back with the swine flu and then the bird flu and, you know, the Ebola crisis and
SARS,
you know, yeah, SARS, all that stuff, you know, that we've had over the years, you know, we'll get through this too. You know, so I always got, you know, tomato plants, pepper plants, snow peas, which I don't know, it's getting pretty warm. I'm afraid my snow peas aren't going to put out very good, but I had some the other night. I went out and picked some because, you know, I got some chicken wings from Publix and then picked a bunch of snow peas. And I saw yesterday there's a whole bunch of them still there, so.
You know, I love snow peas.
I do too. Man. Just eat them right off the vine, you know.
Yeah.
Because we don't use pesticides, you know.
Best blue leg green beans I ever tasted. One day I was inspecting way before my Navy days. I worked for the Florida Department of Agriculture and doing a backyard inspection on citrus, and the guy had a nice garden. And he said, you want to try? These are some of the best crop I've ever had of green beans. But raw, blue leg green beans. He'd broke a couple off, and I just popped them in my mouth. I was like, my goodness. I was like, raw green beans, and they were so tasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're crunchy, but
yeah.
They're good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that stuff that you grow in the garden, you can just eat, you know. I love to, you know, we got little tomatoes, but they hardly ever make it in the house unless there's a whole bunch of them, because usually we just pluck them off and eat them. And then I saw yesterday we got a whole bunch of strawberries that's turned red. I hadn't even looked at them, but they've turned red.
Yeah.
So
bunch of those in the store.
Be picking them now. We got quite a few plants of those, so I noticed a whole bunch of them yesterday. But anyway, you know, growing your own food, things like that, you know,
So snow peas aren't, they're not frost sensitive?
No, but they are heat sensitive. In other words, if it gets too warm, they'll just stop producing and then they'll just die out. You know, it's weird. It's I would like to grow snow peas year round, but you just can't do it if it gets too hot.
Where are you getting your seeds?
I don't know where Yvonne got them. You can get them usually at, you know, any feed store is the better seeds, or you can get them at, you know, places like Home Depot or Lowe's. But usually if you get the seeds from a feed store, you can get like scoop and put them in a package and do them like that, you know. But so I don't know, but I think these were packaged snow pea seeds, if I remember right. But
yeah,
they sure are good. Like I said, I picked a bunch of them, took them in the house, and just, you know, eat the chicken and the raw snow peas. They're good that way.
Mm.
Have you spoke to John Nooney lately?
No, I haven't.
I was just wondering because he was saying in this this magazine that they're going to, the Jacksonville Zoo, they're going to put a place for 10-plus boats out there at the zoo.
The docks?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's gonna, they're going to move it to a different spot.
Hmm.
They got to dredge it and everything. So
back in the day, that used to be a thick grass flat that you had to get through just to get in there. And I bet you anything, there's not a bit of grass there
now. No, we don't have, you know, you're talking about grass underwater?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, grass flat. You could see it at low water.
Hmm.
And, you know, my old boat was a deep draft. Deep V, and I couldn't get in there at
low water. Maybe that's what happened.
Definitely chewed the channel, but they're going to have to make it deeper in there. They're going to have to dredge it out.
Yeah, it says here it is. They're going to dredge it. There's quite a bit of money they're dishing out for the dredging and all. So I'd like to. It doesn't say in here though when they're going to get started on it, because we used to go out there and put in there at I forget the name of that ramp there, but it's real shallow coming out Burt there.
Maxwell right by there. The Payne Street,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had my skiff and was kicking up mud, so real shallow over there. So,
well, and actually, if you go in there at high tide, there's reds that cruise that bank over there. You know, I had a friend of mine used to fish it in tournaments all the time.
I don't doubt
maybe
it.
I shouldn't be saying that, but you know.
Well, a lot of the
that's a huge bank, so you know,
yeah, maybe it goes along.
You know,
reason I brought up that grass is that that's trout breeding habitat,
mm-hmm.
And without that grass,
well, that's why they used to, you know, I mean, that's why the not used to, but that's why the Gulf of Mexico is so good about. You know, you can go out in the Gulf and catch trout anytime, just about. You know, it doesn't matter what tide or anything, but those grass flats are the perfect habitat for them.
They must still have grass over there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Loads and loads of it.
Looks like a checkerboard out there sometimes. Yeah.
Loads of it.
Spots.
And matter of fact, if you have a bad east wind or a west wind, you know, over here we want a west wind, but over there they don't. But when you have a bad west wind, I mean, you can't hardly fish it because of all the grass that's pulled loose from the waves because it's so shallow, and the grass will pull loose out there and get caught on your lures, get caught on your line and everything. It's kind of a pain in the neck to fish it then, but other than that, it's real good trout fishing anytime. We'll be right back.